Morning and welcome again. I see we have Miss Rachel Kelly and I missed this morning. So wonderful to have you with us this morning. Even though we have a mass crowd, I must preach. So thank you for your attendance this morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, O Lord God. Father, we get to come and to worship you. Oh, Lord God, in the beauty of your holiness, Father, right now, help us to be still and to listen, oh, Lord God. Father, you have been so wonderful and graceful to each one of us. And, Father, for those that are not in attendance, oh, Lord God, we pray that they would just do as they did in the Old Testament, oh, Lord God, that they would just look this way. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity, oh, Lord God, to stand and to proclaim your word. We thank you for the opportunity, O Lord God, to minister unto others. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of a body of believers, O Lord God. And right now, Father, help me, O Lord God, to hide behind your cross, O Lord God. And Father, you speak because I'm listening. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 is where we began reading this morning. Verse 12 is where we began reading this morning. And the Bible reads, "We are not again commending ourselves unto you, but speak as giving you occasion of glorying on our behalf, that ye may have wherewith to answer them that glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we are beside ourselves, it is unto God, or whether we are of sober mind, it is unto you. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that one died for all, therefore all die. And he died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sake died and rose again. Wherefore we henceforth know no man after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, reconciling unto us himself through Christ, and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors before on behalf of Christ, as though God was entreated by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." A lot of scripture, but there's a word that stands out in there, in the pluralism by which Paul uses here. That word is re. The title of today's message is, "The New Creature is Not Invisible and Cannot Be Hidden." The new creature is not invisible and cannot be hidden. What is the old man? I would start out to say this morning, I have at least 5 points to try to help us understand and to move us farther along as to how we should live our lives as Christians, as people of God that have been bought with a price. First, I'd like for you to think about the natural man. And the natural man does not perceive God according to Romans 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the Bible reads, "And they that are of the flesh cannot please God, and they that are of the flesh cannot please God. The verse before that one says, because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. When we think about this, when we really wrap our minds around the old man, and his nature, and how it is that in being in the old has no connection to the living God that we serve and that we worship. That's what it means when it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, when it talks about us being against God, and we cannot please God if we are in the flesh and if we are of the old man. I have a coworker who has recently been saved and brought into the ministry, and from time to time when I come into the office, he questions me about why we have to do this in church and why we have to do that. And so I set him down Friday and we talked, and I said, you know, when a man is saved, when he is put under conviction by the Holy Spirit, and he begins to realize and agrees with what God has to say about him, and he accepts Jesus as Savior, then that man is no longer, that man is no longer himself, but he's been bought and he's been purchased, and he begins to take on a new life, and he's a new creation. You see, another reason is found also there in that 8th verse. The old man is at odds with God. He's in enmity. He's against God. The laws of God, they're going to clash with his life, because the laws of God are for those that are saved. They're going to obey the Lord. My assistant, oft time I brag on my assistant, because I tell people, they say, how do you put up with Melon? And I said, the question is not how do I put up with him. I said, the question is, he's easy to put up with because he's a saved man. You see, saved people, they're not just saved for Sunday. They're saved every day of the week. And they understand that being saved, that they are not just subject to those that have dominion or rule over them, their bosses. They are subject to the laws and the principles of God. So they bring to work with them something that the unsaved and that the natural man does not, and that's obedience first to God and his root and his word and his laws. And so realizing that the old man cannot and he will not be obedient to God. Now he or she or they or them may modify their behavior in our presence. You know, as we get older in life, we learn to obey laws and rules. And I often tell people about different communities that are growing. The city of Madison, I think, is number 3. And then you have those in the north. You have those just above Hernando, up in that area. They are really growing fast. But in their growth, the quality of life has been enhanced. Who wouldn't want to live in a neighborhood where it's kind of upscale, and you got Walmart right next door, and you have everything going for you? Just, you know, you don't have to look for anything. These places are growing and they are very upscale. And so who wouldn't want to be in an environment like that? The same thing can be said about who wouldn't want to be in a thriving environment where the church is growing and people see Jesus in other people. You see, the new creation is not invisible. Paul used this word we. He kept using this word we and our, pluralizing the fact that there was more than Paul that had been changed, that had been transformed into a new man. He said we. And so when I think about this, and I think about what Jesus has done in my life, I become part of that we. And you too, if you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. A second thing is the reason that it's invisible and it cannot be hidden is because Christ makes that difference. You see, Christ does not make the difference in our lives that we may be invisible or secret service Christians. Christ makes that, comes into our lives so that we become visible. And in becoming visible and not invisible and not hid, others see Jesus. And others are appointed to Jesus because of what Christ did. You see, Christ must actually dwell in each one of us. According to John chapter 17, verse 23, it says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be the perfect, may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me and lovest them even as thou lovest me. When Christ indwells in you and I, as believers that have received him, we're going to be seen. We're going, not just heard, we're going to be actually seen. A man asked me a question, and it seems every time I'm praying and getting prepared to preach, someone that maybe knows me or doesn't know me, they hear me talking or they see the way I'm eating or whatever, and they just sitting around the table. And, my boss walked up to me. I was eating with some more people today. He said, I know you're preaching to these people over here today. I can tell by the way you, and I had, he couldn't hear the conversation because, unless he walked by the table. And I was witnessing to some people. And I said that to say this, that if Christ is in us and we begin to share Christ and we begin to share the things of Christ, it will not be hidden. So someone else sitting on just away from me said, asked me, and I don't know if you ever get this question or not. Does anyone ever ask you, where do you go to church at? People think I'm a Pentecostal Baptist. A Pentecostal Baptist, because I'm always witnessing. I'm not silent. I don't let Jesus be invisible in my life. I want Jesus to be alive and to be well. I want to live up to be a restless prayers. I really do. I want that more than anything in the world. I really hate when I'm convicted that I may have brought shame upon the name of Jesus, the one who dwells in me. Because if he's in us, he cannot be hidden. He's not invisible. You see, according to Romans 8:10, the Bible says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Think about that for a moment. If Christ is in you, if he's in me, that old nature is dead because of sin. That's what he does when he gets in there. He destroys that. But the spirit of life becomes of righteousness. We don't have to toot our own horns as Paul spoke about early on in this particular text found in 2 Corinthians. He wanted to give the believers something to boast about, not about the outward appearance, but the change that had taken place within the people. Most of the time, you and I encounter people all over the world. I would imagine, as Brother Keith is away today, he's going to, with his visual and natural and his spiritual eye, he's going to see all kinds of people. He's going to be able to identify with some of those people as being Christ-filled, Christ living in those people. And then there's others who are going to be identified as natural men, not knowing anything about Christ. You see, it is only when Christ is in each one of us that we become acceptable to God. This is very important. This is very, very important. Simply because there is no other way for a man, woman, boy, or girl to be acceptable to God except through Jesus being in that person. That person, said another way, that person is covered by the blood of Christ. That person has Christ, all the attributes that Christ had. That person is infilled with Christ's spirit. That person is recognized by each and every person that they come in contact with, that there is something different about this person. And it is not their outward appearance. It is something within the person that is drawing or that is being reflected. And that is of Christ. You see, in this state, nothing. In this state, when Christ is in us, nothing, according to Romans 8 and 38, can separate us from the love of God. When we think about that, and we think about the secret place of God and how it is that God has each one of us that are saved people, that are people that have surrendered our lives to him, that are people that get to serve him and get to worship him, whether it be through Annie Armstrong, whether it be through whatever we do in the church. When we really hone in and think about that, that love, that secret place where God holds us and cherishes us so much that nothing, not even the gates of hell can separate us from the love of God. A third thing is Christ enters us because of our faith. Christ enters us because of our faith. If Christ is in us because we believe in what Jesus did when he came and he walked this earth, when he was born of a virgin, if we believe what the scriptures say about Jesus, if we believe that he died on a Roman cross, and he did all this, if it hadn't been nobody, I've heard it said, and I believe it hadn't been nobody but sinful me, he would have stepped down out of glory. We take it personal. And he would have hung on that cross for me. My heart flutters because scarcely will any man, according to scripture, die for me. But Jesus died for me. And if Jesus died for you, you cannot hide that, and there's no way it can be invisible. No way. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. A young lady was saved just before revival there at Kruger Baptist Church. She was probably about 12 years old. She was baptized, and she was overjoyed. And her mother called Brother Al Difford and said, "I don't know what we're going to do with this child." So she got a Bible, and she reading the Bible, and she witnessing to other people, and she talking. Said, "What are we supposed to do with it?" And so Brother Al said, "What do you think I'll tell her?" I said, "Tell her mama to get saved. She'll do the same thing." It could not be hidden that this child actually, when she was saved, and when she went through the ordinance and the ritual of baptism, she took it very, very serious that her old life was buried and she was raised to new life. So it cannot be hidden, nor can it be invisible. You see, Christ and the prophets before him proclaimed that he was the way of salvation. There in Isaiah 53, the Bible reads, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by the knowledge of himself. Shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities." Even in the New Testament prophets and preachers proclaim, there in John chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent him had eternal life and cometh not unto judgment, but had passed out of life unto death." Death into life. It's been proclaimed throughout the ages that Jesus is the way and the only way. It's been proclaimed by Jesus. It's been proclaimed by Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets. Apostles have even preached salvation through faith in Christ. Paul, the author of this particular text, preached it numerous of times. With every opportunity that he was given, he never, ever just passed over this, simply because it is the only way. Salvation is through Christ. So Christ enters us because of our faith, not because of religious practices, not because we hold positions and titles. It is because of our faith in him, that he comes into each one of our lives, and in coming into our lives, he changes us. You will hear me say this from time to time. This is not just a change. This is radical. It is so radical. It is so radical that people living in the house with you, people that see you on the street, people that you work with, people that you come in contact with that don't know nothing about you. You can be getting your phone fixed at the Apple Lab. You can be in the grocery line at the store. People are going to take notice that you have been with Jesus or that he dwells in you. It can be in a business deal. You can be a banker. You can be a lawyer. It doesn't make any difference. Because you receive Christ by faith, everything about you, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, everything old, all things, is passed away and you become new. And that newness is what they see. They don't see that old. They see that newness. Have you ever run up on a classmate or somebody you've been knowing for a long time, and they try to make you feel good? They say to you, "Robert, you have not changed not one bit. Your hair's gray, Robert. You're kind of big in the midsection, you know." And so they notice that. But wouldn't it be nice, Robert, if they run up on you and they said, "Robert, something's different about you. Boy, you look kind of peculiar." And they go all the way around you to see if it's really Robert. And they might even do like, I used to tell my wife, it used to be a little girl who used to go to church named Brianna. And Brianna used to pinch my wife and see if she was real. She'd say, "You real, Miss Gloria?" And she would pinch on her and say, "You real?" And Gloria would say, "Ouch, I am real." But these people see something in you, and you are real. More than real, you are alive now in Christ Jesus. You see, a fourth thing is those in Christ are changed people. Who better could talk about the change in a person's life than the Apostle Paul? What man could pen a word and include me in the we and you in the we than Paul? Paul was so radically changed that it was hard for people to even believe that this Saul was now Paul. With a new name and a brand new identity, this man, now once a persecutor of the church, now a father and a pillar of the church. You see, Paul used the word, the Greek word here, kainar, which means quantitatively new in 2 Corinthians 5:17. No one can be in Christ without being radically, radically changed. For people that tell you that it does not take all that or tone it down, those are people that have probably figured out that, you know, "I want to work in the secret service part of the Christian ministry. I'm going to be a Christian, but I want to work secretly." And I want to tell you that there is no backdoor entrance into heaven whereby we can do things under secrecy and it be what God has called us to be because he's living, Christ is living in us, and say, "Well, we get in the back door because, you know, I really was a Christian. I didn't witness it that much. And I kind of kept my old character because of where I was at or the position that I was in." No. When Christ comes into our life, he radically changes each one of us. I mean, to the point that it is not invisible and it cannot be hid. I don't care if you walk every day and you walk in your neighborhood. People may say, "Well, there goes old Bill Rutledge walking." But Bill's walk is not just an ordinary walk. There's a hum coming from Bill, a joyous sound. And they're wondering, you know, why is that man, it's raining. It might even be raining. He got an umbrella walking. But he's humming something. Something's genuine in him. Something is sound like a well-oiled machine. Men would know that, and women too, because my mother was a seamstress, and sometimes when she didn't put oil in that machine, it gave a different noise. But there's something causing this person to harm and to gin. You see, no one can be without Christ and not radically change. This transformation that Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians 5:17 is also called kalotarge in the Greek, which means reconciliation. You see, we'll change from being enemies with God to becoming what the Bible calls friends. There again in Romans 5 and 10. You see, the old nature is being crucified or put to death according to Romans 6 and 6. Likewise, when we read the text and we study the scripture, we find that other writers use similar words. Take, for instance, John. John says, whosoever abided in him sinned not. 1 John 3:6. The verb in this is a derivative of meaning habitually sinning. Now, I get into this conversation a lot with people that are somewhat struggling with how they ought to present themselves as believers. And they look for excuses upon excuses when they participate in things that are not like Christ habitually. You know, and I always use this particular text because I want people to understand the wording here. John says, however, if we commit a single sin, hamite is the Greek word, the advocate. We have this advocate, which is Jesus with the Father, because he's living in us now, not outside of us. He's living in each one of us. You see, John understood that there were going to be a lot of people that were saying they couldn't live this way and they couldn't live that way. No, you can't. You've heard it 1,000 times. Within your own strength, you cannot, and I cannot, live the Christian life. It has to be through the power and the working of his Holy Spirit, living and dwelling within each one of us. A fifth thing is, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. The word used here for old is archaia in the Greek, which means original, not simply papaya, the old. You see, original sin has become done away with by what Christ did on the cross and what he did in coming out of the grave. And so you and I, we don't have to live in sin. We don't have to wallow in it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of blood of Jesus Christ once for all. So this sacrifice that through Jesus is once for all. It's not like in the Old Testament where they had to come year in and year out to get forgiveness. The verb passed away here is paralithem, meaning gone forever. My sins, your sins, if you've received Jesus, are gone forever. They're gone forever. Then the exclamation, behold. Behold. Now, if I made a quick gesture and said, look, can't be invisible. I'm telling you, look at something. It can't be hid. If I said, look, it's not invisible. It's not hid. Behold, indicates surprise, delight at the total change which has taken place in that believer. I was saying earlier, people look at you and say, and they look at me and they say, something's different about you. I can't quite put my finger on it, but something is different about you. The other day I was trailing Clay Rogers Friday evening coming in, and he didn't see me, I don't think. And I saw a little hand go up in his car. I said, oh, I know where he been. Look. I don't see nothing but a hand, but he got some of them grandchildren in that truck. I could see that. It was not invisible. as long as that child's hand was down, I didn't really know where Clay was coming from. But when I saw that hand up, and I hadn't told him or even talked to him about the fact that I saw him, but I saw a child's hand in the back of his truck. And I knew it wasn't a shadow. I knew it wasn't Clay's hand because it was too small. I could see it. I looked. The new creature is not invisible. And he, she, them, they cannot be hid. You see, a total change takes place in that life, in that person's life. All things are become new. This is in the perfect tense, which means that things that not only things that this person hadn't even realized yet, they hadn't even realized that they had put in the past and they have become new, and they continually, every day, they become new. Furthermore, this change is all-inclusive. The word te pathelon, each individual thing and all of them collectively in one collection, all these things become new. You see, you and I must realize that when we're in Christ, we are new creatures. Jesus Christ sees things. We're in a relationship. And these things that people see in us now are because of the relationship that you and I possess with Jesus. The message here is one of regeneration. It is one about the new creation. I've given you several things, but what does it really mean? Very simply, just what the scripture reads there in verse 17. It literally means new creature. His whole being, his natural life, his behavior, all this changed. Whereas a man was dead, as a new creature, he's alive. He's alive to God. Whereas a man had no relationship with God, he now has a relationship. Whereas a man is not sure about God, as a new creature, he is absolutely certain about God. Whereas a man never, ever fellowship nor commune with God, he now communes with God all the time. Whereas a man once lived in sin and immorality, he now lives a new creature in righteousness and in holiness. Whereas a man had to face death as a new creature, he never has to die. Whereas a man is doomed to judgment, eternal separation from God, as a new creature, he is destined to live eternally in the presence of God. You see, to be in Christ means that a believer walks and lives day in, day out, day by day. It means that he does not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It means that he denies ungodliness, or she denies ungodliness, lust, and they are sober-minded and they are righteousness. Even in this present world that we live in, we are what God has called us to be. My challenge to you today, as I conclude, is that, and I conclude with this story. There was a man who went to a business meeting, and the people noticed something about him before he started talking. He told them, he said, you know, when I came to my last meeting, I was so downtrodden, I was so far down that I just didn't know. He said, but today you see a man sitting here, a new man sitting in old clothes. You see, the world standard, if you want respect from the world, is to put on new clothes and go out into the world, and people respect you because of the labels that you have on you. But the label that you should have in you is Christ living in you. That label is what causes the new man to enter in and to dwell and to cause you not to be invisible nor a person that is hidden. Jesus today wants us to live like he's in us. He doesn't want us to hide who he is and what he has done for you. And if he's done anything, I say if he's done anything, and that anything what I'm talking about is save you, then you are new in Christ Jesus. And you will not hide it, nor will it be invisible to people that are not even looking for it. So if you're here today and you and you have not been visible for Jesus, if you're here today and you have never been visible for Jesus, then today is a day of opportunity for you. He's here waiting to enter in and to make you a new creature so that he can use you. So that he can use you in the ministry of reconciliation, because you have been reconciled. Because you are saved, now you can go visibly, not invisibly, not in the secret service, but you can go visibly and win souls to Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for how powerful it is. We thank you, O Lord God, for everything that you do and you say to each one of us. Father, help us to realize that you are not an invisible God. You are very visible, O Lord God. And Father, if you are visible in us, then we can't hide it. Lord God, we have to proclaim what you've done in our life. And Father, right now in this time of invitation, there may be some, O Lord God, that are seeking you. Or Lord, maybe they've strayed away from being visible and they've become invisible. Perhaps it could be because of sin, or it could be because, Father, they are a shy person. But Lord, even the shy, they are no longer shy because you weren't shy and you live in them. So help us, Lord, to be bold in our witness and in our lives as we live day in and out as new creatures and not the old man. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen. I'll be standing down here if someone needs to make a decision. Robert?